Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
1-2-1-2-1-2. Sorry.
Go on, JB. It's your favourite pod of the week.
Oh, there you go. Hello and welcome to this. It is the Foot Fetish podcast. The podcast all about your love of feet. I'm here unsheathed with my little five digits exposed to the elements. And I'm here with Tim. Hello, Tim.
Hello, JB.
And Phil. Hello, Phil.
Hello, JB. Nice feet.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. Oh, look. See, look, I'm doing it again. As soon as the cameras are on, I can't keep my feet to myself. This is, of course, the MWDP podcast. And we're going to be talking everything. Premiership rugby. Any Pro 14 you want to talk about this week?
Good win for Ulster against the Dragons. Uh-huh. So it doesn't really matter.
Cool. So if that's what you like, there you go. That's your Pro 14 stuff done. Boys, what a weekend in the Prem, eh?
So good.
Great weekend. Some amazing games.
There we go. It might help if I turn my microphone on. There we go. That's better.
Ah, there we go. Oh, we haven't just done a whole podcast with your mic off, have we?
No.
Thank God for that.
I don't think so. No, we haven't. I can hear myself.
Yeah, and the waveform was great.
Yeah. So, do you know what happened this weekend?
Yeah.
Some people wasted their time. And do you know what they did? They watched international rugby during a premiership window.
Well, do you know what? So I started the last podcast with a little audio nugget from Georgia against Spain.
Uh-huh.
I've got a little audio nugget here from Stan Sport Australia. So they have now taken on the broadcasting of Super Rugby AU.
Which is then on World Rugby, free to watch on World Rugby's channels.
It is, and apparently it's like 8 of the best minutes of rugby ever recorded, the end of the Brumbies Reds game.
Yeah, so I didn't watch that. I did get to see some of the Force versus the Rebels, which wasn't the best. At no point in the 80 minutes did it contain any of the best 8 minutes I've ever seen. There were some nice moments, but not an amazing game.
Mm. Yeah. But so Stan have taken over the broadcast. I've never heard of this channel before, but Stan...
Yeah, what does it stand for?
I don't know. I think it must be like Dave.
Really? Oh, wow. So it'll be high quality then.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's like Dave. I'm just saying as in it's a station named after... It's probably named after... It's given a name that reflects its target audience.
Stan?
So that's what Dave is. Dave is a station aimed at, like, 30, 40-something blokes.
Really? So what do you reckon the Premiership would call their station then? Tracy? Because the way that they market themselves, you'd think that'd be it.
Tarquin is... Maybe. I don't know. But so Stan is a station in Australia, and what I love... Michael Checker is one of the pundits. What I absolutely love about this is when they do analysis... They put music behind it that almost feels like you're in an expensive, trendy restaurant.
Oh, like soft jazz.
Yeah, well, there's a restaurant in Manchester in Spinningfields called Australasia, and
as if you don't eat there all the time.
Fantastic food, fantastic food, but it just feels a little bit too trendy. Like they have a DJ on there playing, you know.
Oh, they do have the
DJ,
don't
they?
And they have the see-through decks.
Right. Yeah. So have a listen to this. The conversation starts at the desk with all the four hosts, and then Michael Checker and the host of the show go on to do some analysis.
Alana, just on Suliasi Punavalu, you've kept a close eye on him throughout that first half. You're going to head to the analyse, but really interesting to see, you know, the good and the bad about his first start in Super Rugby AU.
Definitely, well, we just got to see his try and we had a look at some of his attacking threats.
Is that Chico going to the analyser?
Chico and I wanted to have a little bit closer look at his defensive decisions, but also...
The music!
As soon as they go to the analyser...
To put him in the defensive line where he actually is.
And then you look at another video... It's exactly the same. They introduce the...
Yeah, well, we all remember the beautiful try that we just saw then in the corner, but Chek and I wanted to have a look at a couple of those moments, Nick, that actually led to that, and the moments of the game that we were talking about that actually lead to those impressive points happening, Chek.
Wow, the music!
I don't know how you feel about that musical accompaniment to your rugby analysis.
I don't like that. I mean, I'm down with the soft jazz, actually. If it was, like, soft jazz, that'd be quite cool. Like, Dave Brubeck, I can't say it. Take Five. That'd be quite cool.
So do you want that? Like, if you go, right, Nick Mullins to go, right, Austin, you've spotted something going on at scrum time, and then a little bit of some smooth beats in the background.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
Well, on the game I watched, the Force versus the Rebels game, at halftime, there was a two pundit panel, pitch side, having a conversation about the first half, but they were asking each other questions, but they were directing the questions and answers directly to the camera.
That's very American.
That's American, yeah.
So it seems, so I don't watch much American sport at all, but it just seems so weird to me, because I'm used to, obviously, the brilliant BT Sport, and any of them, your good self included, Tim, are having a conversation with someone else, they are addressing each other, both for the questions and responses. So, it felt so alien.
So two things which I like. First, big fan of pitch-side desks. I like a good pitch-side desk. That's great.
The bigger the better.
Yeah, I wasn't keen on what Sky did a while ago, and they wheeled... It was on wheels, wasn't it, their big telly. It's too temporary. Don't like that. It has to be a proper desk, which you bought out.
A proper permanent fixture, just like the enormous... giant screen crane that the Super League had installed at every single Super League ground.
What about if the TV on wheels that Sky Sports had, the TV that would, like, it was like a unit that they'd wheel in.
Wheels, that's what I'm saying.
No, if they had it with wheels, but they gave it a name and it was almost personified, this thing on wheels, like it was a pet dog or something. Come on.
My biggest fear is robots becoming sentient. So if you've got a personified television that moves of its own volition, I've got an issue with that.
All right.
Yeah. And the other thing as well I was going to mention is that we've already reached the pinnacle of sports broadcasting. That's when Gary Neville and Carragher turned away from whoever it was to go on their walk.
Yeah.
That will never be bettered.
Kelly Cates.
Yeah. Never be better.
That was amazing, wasn't it?
One of my favourite bits of sports broadcasting, in very loose terms, is the Mitchell and Webb sketch.
Football.
The football, yeah.
Presumably means something to someone.
Well, and in years to come, we will be able to say, these games happened.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, very
but these games did happen.
Oh,
there were some games that actually happened.
I tell you what, every game went the way I didn't want it to go, effectively. every single game was... And I don't know where this leaves the league, actually, because there seems to be one legitimate team, maybe two.
The top two are legitimate teams.
Yeah, yeah.
Bristol and Exeter.
Yeah, two. Yeah, two then.
But just sort of carrying over from the last podcast to this one... the Saracens players played fantastically well for England. A bunch of them did. And if those Saris boys can just keep going with that sort of performance, they've got a shot at the playoffs in the championship this year.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, they should do okay.
Yeah.
And Jersey's not an easy game, actually. Of all the ones they think that here's a potential banana skin, Jersey would be up there.
Jersey away.
Definitely.
And the shame about that is it was Jersey away without fans. Jersey away with fans, I think, would be a different proposition.
I was sure you were going to say it's Jersey away without the England boys. No, without the England boys, so they can check on all of their offshore companies.
Business and pleasure.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, business and business, actually.
Business.
It was Jersey where Sippers had his application, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it
was. Himself. He undervalued himself, famously.
Golden wrists.
Yeah, platinum wrists.
Yeah, right.
He's still not turned up anywhere. Unless I've missed something.
No, he's not. He's still in the rugby wilderness. But hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully, I do want to see him back, but I don't know where.
He's got to go for a big money deal, and the only places with big money deals at the moment are either France or Japan.
Yeah.
Right, before I forget, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/eggchasers.
Yes.
Thank you very much to everybody that has supported us there. If you appreciate the fact there is always a podcast every Monday morning without fail, some Tuesdays or Wednesdays as well, and we've been doing this for 7 seasons and counting. If you appreciate that and you want to try and help us to get around to more grounds, do live shows, or just show us that you think it's great, then patreon.com/eggchasers. You will get priority access to live show tickets when we're able to and when we can put the events on that we want to do. And among other things, you will also get the chance to win some of the jerseys from the Rugby Dungeon in a little monthly draw that we're doing, because we've got too many shirts.
We've got far too many shirts.
So the winner of this month's shirt.
Oh yeah. Phil, hang on. What should we give away?
I think we should do the Wales Grand Slam one.
Well,
bearing in mind Wales could win a Grand Slam.
Yeah. So this is the kind of thing that
a match weight Wales Grand Slam 2019 okay. jersey.
So I'm not going to call it match weight because I don't want to be sued, because there might well be like a thing above this, but it feels pretty much weight.
So has it got the test is always, has it got the GPS thing at the back?
It does. Ooh, does it have it on the inside? It does not.
Ooh, so it might not be, yeah, match weight, but it is. It's a very good, it's not close. Just yeah, it's not just
why am I giving this away? Sorry, why am I giving away my stuff?
It's our stuff.
It's mine. This one's legitimately mine. If you want the history behind this one, I did an 888 advert.
Oh,
this
yes.
Is why it exists. So I went.
Well, you give it away because you, unless you really let yourself go, you're not going to be able to legitimately wear it. And you hate Wales.
I do not hate Wales.
You secretly, you kind of love and loathe your home nation.
Wales.
You love
yeah.
to hate
so
Wales.
I feel very uncomfortable wearing rugby shirts if I'm not playing, right?
Unless you've earned it.
And 888 made me wear this shirt to debates like I'm some sort of super fan, not realising that, yes, I am technically Welsh, but I don't really support them that much. And then I had to argue why Dan Biggar was better than Owen Farrell. That bit was easy. I mean, that bit was walking the park. And then I had to do a bit, some like controversial opinion. So I went for why the hacker should not be allowed in stadiums. And they released it on the same day of the Auckland shooting. You could not think of a worse time.
Well, hold on, in the wake of?
Yeah, in the wake of. It must have just been scheduled. So the Auckland shooting happened in the morning. And then like half an hour later, this thing comes out saying... you know, it's not a cultural dance, it's a commercial jig.
Well,
and
think of it from a bunch of point of views. One,
in fact, I don't want it. I never want to see a shirt ever again. It's one of the worst mornings
of
my life.
our wonderful supporters on Patreon get a jersey in the week that Wales could win their next Grand Slam. You want their jersey from their last Grand Slam, and you exercise all those demons you just mentioned.
Yeah, you get to dress up like me when I was acting like a bigot. The bigot shirt.
And the winner is...
The bigot and bigger shirt.
Yes.
The winner is...
The winner is... Let me just hit return. It is number 533.
Ooh.
It is Damo.
Damo?
Surname on that, or just Damo?
His name is input as Damo. Let me just check. We have got an email address. One sec. 533. We have, sorry.
This is I trust you.
Incredibly, incredibly efficient.
That's fine.
So 533, yes. Damien Cocking 2. Damien Cocking.
I thought his name was Cocking 2 then. Damien Cocking.
Damien Cocking.
Great stuff, Damien Cocking. Shirt coming to you, good man. And sign up at Patreon for the next giveaway, which we'll have to decide what jersey that's going to be.
Which one of my jerseys? Why don't we give away your Japan one next?
Why not give away my Japan one?
No. Anyway.
Wait, isn't that Japan on a medium? Aren't I the only person who's actually fit into
it? It's large.
Is it a large? Or is it a match fit, though?
I can't give away these. I can't give away that. I won't do it.
Well,
I won't allow it.
Well, we'll decide. We'll decide over the next few weeks.
We've still got to give away that Dragons one.
Yeah, you need to post it.
I'm going to post it to...
So, in chronological order, then?
Yes. Well, no, not necessarily in chronological order.
Fine.
What do you want to talk about? Harlequins going to Sandy Park, the top of the table clash.
Furious about this.
Except for Bristol, obviously.
Absolutely furious about it. So, everything went wrong, really. Because Harlequins have to target this game. Harlequins want to be taken as a serious team, allegedly, now. This is their new thing. They want to show that without Gustav, they can go out and win, and they don't need all the bears and badges and all.
Haven't they always wanted to be seen as a serious team?
No, absolutely not. No, I can't imagine that they did.
Bears and badges.
Yeah.
Attack helicopters.
All of that's gone on.
Maseratis. Yeah. Salmon chinos.
What a club. And this was the time to do it, right? So they win this game. I think they're going to be hard to move out the top four anyway. But they win this game, and they're second, and they're beaten one of the big boys. And that is going to go a long way for when they get to the playoffs and say, do we back ourselves to win? Well, we've got a record against Exeter. Mm. Yes, we can.
Do we back ourselves at home?
Do we back ourselves at home? Okay. So they had this within their grasp. And more importantly, Exeter do lose some players. Not many, but they do lose some players to international.
They lose a few.
Johnny Gray, Stuart Hogg, Henry Slater, Cowan Dickey.
And so a lot then, actually, to be fair.
Jack Knowles out.
And, it's not the same as, say, Leicester Tigers losing players, because Exeter are a far more well-balanced squad.
Yeah, and they still arguably got their two most important players in the Simmons boys.
Yeah. And Harlequins have everyone available. So my new theory is Harlequins have got to win pretty much everything throughout the Six Nations once they're absolutely at their peak with losing no one. And
so that's a good point. When was the last time a Harlequins team have contributed so few players to England?
Who is the Harlequins player in England? It used to be Joe Marler.
It was the Marler, Kerr, Brown, Rob Shaw. Were the four every time. There.
And then Monier before that.
Yeah.
It's people like Scott Baldwin, who is still an international class hooker, I think. He's playing week in, week out. They've got Lowe, they've got all these lads. And it was there for them. They nearly did it. But instead, they decided just to throw it away. And it's devastating for them, because that was a really important win.
Do you think throw it away?
Trashed it.
Is that the characterisation of that game?
I think so.
I think that's unfair on Exeter, because it was Exeter ground this out. It was, effectively three pick-and-go tries.
Can I just point out, by the way, you remember I said I had those...
Harlequin socks.
Regular socks that are club socks. I'm wearing my Harlequins ones today.
Oh, they're nice.
Where are they from?
I can't remember what the company's called.
Brilliant. I bet they're delighted by that.
I keep being asked who the company... They didn't send them to me. I got them for Christmas. But I would be sent more, happily.
Yeah,
I'll find out. Anyway, they're great.
I think you've just, for the purposes of the video, you've just done all of that behind the laptop. There we go.
Show a bit of leg.
There we go.
And
this... Get that on the foot, fit it.
Yeah, the maintain. You need to take them off now, Tim.
Slowly, selectively.
I can't help but think it wasn't as much Quinn's throwing it away as Exeter just doing what Exeter do, which is grinding out a win when they're not necessarily at their best, but trusting the processes.
But you need to figure out a way to beat Exeter. When you've got absolutely all your boys there and they don't have a lot of theirs, and you're ahead, and you're at Sandy Park, that is a time that you need to grow up and work out a way to win.
So I don't disagree with that at all.
There are two teams involved in this, and Exeter are trying to win.
Yeah, and you've got to be
themselves.
Better than that team, because if you want to be serious, you've got to have some wins against Exeter or against Bristol.
Yeah. If Quins have aspirations of being in the top four, which they absolutely do, it's unlikely they're going to get into the top two. Therefore, they've got to go to either Ashton Gate or Sandy Park in the playoffs and beat one of those teams.
But I don't think coming away from this and going, Quins, you blew it, what you're playing at is...
Oh, I think...
The home of the European and Premiership champions, albeit not at their best and without some key players, but...
1 point loss.
Of course they could have won it, but I think they'll take more heart from that than... They'll be disappointed and they'll look back on it in a couple of days and go, they'll think we're in a great place if we're gutted to come away from Exeter.
Well, that's a good question.
Defeat.
I don't know if they are gutted. I mean, I don't mean that. I don't say they're not. The answer is I don't know if they are. I don't know if they come away from that thinking, good go, guys. That's fine. And in which case, that would be quite unhealthy. If they don't all come away from this absolutely devastated that they had a 1 point loss against Exeter, then maybe you can say that they kick on.
I think Phil's right. You've got to credit Exeter. They showed a lot of resolve, because I thought they were done.
Well, they get another crack at this, don't they? They have Gloucester, and Gloucester could easily show up because they're a good team in their own right. But they take on Gloucester, and then they get to reset and go against Bristol.
So that's Quinn's next two games.
Yeah. So Gloucester, you would think they could win that.
They should win that. Quinn should win that.
I wonder if Bristol will just hold a bit back for Europe the following week as well.
Yeah. Well, and Quinn's Europe the following week against Ulster. So there's a few things going on there. Quinn's, what a nightmare! What an absolute nightmare!
Well, again, Exeter fans will be delighted with what happened. Don't you just love big day viewers?
Yeah, I do. He's in my fantasy team too.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm not talking about Exeter is because we know what they are. I mean, they're not really an interesting story, are they? They're just awesome. They're awesome. They're always going to be awesome, and they're reliably
brilliant. Albeit that would have been their fifth defeat in the league this season had they lost it. I think it was an important one to have clawed their way back from.
It's one of those.
I agree with that.
Sorry, go on, Phil.
No, I just think the point is correct that Exeter, in the last couple of years, particularly the last season when they were winning all of those tight games, this season some of those tight games have gone against them.
Yeah.
And it's very important for them to actually grind out that win. And it was ground out in tough conditions.
I wonder if when you get really good, like really, really good, like Quinn...
Like to the point where you're beating top 14 teams home and away.
Yeah, like Exeter or... Exeter are now really good.
Exeter are legit. And
prior to that, the only people that came close to them are Saracens. I don't think Bristol are still in the same class as them yet.
Yeah.
Right? I wonder if they start playing a different game. Like, they're not that worried about losing five games or... I think they lost more than that. I think they had 12 games on the bounce once that they...
Well, I think they definitely lost nine on the bounce the year they won the league. Sorry, I'm scrolling through something. It's automatically... I'm going to turn it off.
Yeah, that's a good idea. For something. That's a much better idea. And they play it differently. Like, they're not that worried about getting in the top four. So they can, you know, they can lose a game here or there. For Exeter, I wonder if five games losing is inconvenient, but not necessarily the end of the world.
Because they trust that they will be in the top two.
Yeah, because I certainly think the Saracens felt like that. Like, they wanted, and that's why they didn't have selection games until the very end.
I mean, Saracens won the league from fourth.
Yes.
So Saracens, and Saracens were consistently battling on two fronts. Yeah. They were competing for... Well, doubles season after season.
Yeah.
And just remember, and I think Rob Baxter's absolutely right when he always says it, he never exaggerates wins or defeats, but he always says when they lose, it's not a great deal to work on, it's just a couple of things we need to tighten up. So I think we've just always got to look at it in that context and not draw too exaggerated conclusions from any result or run of results.
What is the result? What's the conclusion about Exeter? They're still really good.
I mean,
you know, they beat a team man for man who was probably as good if not better than them, and that's what Exeter do. They're really good. I don't think I draw any other conclusions other than the Exeter machine carries on marching on.
Well, I draw one conclusion: their pitch isn't as good as their team.
Yes,
that's a weird one. It's usually quite nice down there, isn't it?
This season it's been bad. I mean, I guess they played a lot of rugby to the back end of last season on it.
They haven't furloughed the groundsman, have they?
No. Oh, do you know the groundsman? His son used to play at Tok H.
Really?
Yeah, really good rugby player. A scrum off called Luke. And yeah, he was awesome, actually.
Was he up here for uni then and played at Tok H?
Yes, I think he was. Or was he? Was he working? Doesn't matter.
What one thing I'd say is that Nathan Hughes going to Exeter.
Sorry?
Nathan Hughes going to Exeter. Well, I'm assuming he is, just because the haircut.
I was going to say, that's a story.
What?
I was just assuming. I'm assuming that's the case. That's why Nathan Hughes is doing that mullet, I think.
It's an audition.
Yeah, I figured. Sorry.
I thought you were breaking some incredible news there, Tim.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's an interesting... It doesn't sound like an Exeter signing to me, but, you know...
Baxter knows things.
Baxter does know things. Yeah. Maybe he's got the right movement patterns or some such things. Mm. Did anyone see the Newcastle Bath game?
Only the highlights.
Bits and bobs.
Like, there's so much to take out of it, and simultaneously nothing really to take out of it.
Yeah, but...
So, things you already know are confirmed.
Yeah, well, no, actually.
Go on.
Not in your case. I looked at that Bath result, and I thought... that's when I started to feel for you, because... You said in the first few minutes, basically a couple more tweets along the lines of, Bath are a terrible club, terrible organisation. What is this shower of basically tweets to that effect, and then you went very quiet on the Bath game.
Yeah, I threw my phone through a TV. So.
when they absolutely battered Falcons.
They absolutely smashed them in the end. It was actually quite competitive for, like, I don't know, first half or so. I think the Henry Thomas try was when I started to accept that this one was gone.
But when you say that you accepted this one was gone, were you starting to accept that Bath are actually a pretty good team?
Hang on, let me just check the table. Fourth and bottom. No, they're not.
Newcastle have got injury problems. I mean, they had three players drop out in the warm-up, which never really helps.
No. Genuinely, though, I mean, this result looks like a bad loss for Newcastle, and it is. Some of the stuff they played was really good. Like, really, really good. And this is why I say you can learn a lot and it's all sense of nothing. We already know that they are a well-coached club. But I just thought, imagine this scenario where you en masse purchased the Newcastle coaching team and put them in charge of Bath. They would never stop winning trophies.
With the talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there is, even though Bath are missing a load of internationals, like Anthony Watson and Talupe Faletau and Will Stewart and
Charlie Ewells,
yeah, and multiple others, there's still way more talent in this kind of Bath 1.5 team than the Newcastle
still
team.
Still got Dunn and Underhill, and Reed is playing great.
Jonathan Joseph and Joe Tokunosinga are fairly talented individuals. Tom de Glanville looks class. Always looks class.
So just imagine. I mean, that would be the smartest purchase that Bath could make, is Newcastle's whole coaching team.
Or Steve Diamond.
Or
Michael Checker. I'd like any of those appointments.
Yeah, I think. Do you know what the most ridiculous part about Bath is at the moment? They're really, really offensive.
Go on.
Why is the Bath team jacket red? To me, their subs paraphernalia looks like their main colour is red, and their tertiary colours are like black, white, and blue.
Well, do you know, statistically, across all sports, teams in red perform better than any other team. It's absolutely factual.
Yeah, interesting. I've just been reading a book on brain injuries, but that is one of the points that is quite interesting. Third chapter is less. Let's enjoy the third chapter. Anyway, it's one of the points referenced in that it looks like there is sufficient information to say that there is a causal link between red and results.
Amazing.
A 2% advantage over a long period of time.
The theory being that it's something to do with testosterone.
Yeah.
It activates the release more testosterone.
Fascinating. I don't think I've ever played for a red team.
Lancaster University.
Oh, there you go. Did you win 2% more than...
Oh, yeah, Manchester Rugby Club I played.
Yeah. Did you win 2% more than in other teams?
Well,
yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Well, that's conclusive.
There you go.
I'm reading a book at the moment. It's fascinating. And it's called... I can't actually remember exactly what it's called. It basically just says GDP on the front. And it's a whole book about how to calculate GDP. And it's fascinating. Utterly.
It sounds like...
Is it a load of formulas?
No, thank God.
It's the theory behind...
The theory behind GDP, what it means, how it's calculated. And honestly, you can't listen to it for any more than, say, 30 minutes at a time, because you've got to go, what does that mean? But when you think about it, you think, I can't believe we even use a statistic as a thing. So yeah, I highly recommend my GDP book, whatever it is.
Very good.
So Ed Scott, friend of the pod, been on the Tier 2 tours, and I know he's a Bath fan, so I'm bringing him up here, because I think he might have been watching the Bath game and saw this, but he says, why do referees at the moment tell players to roll east and west out of rucks rather than just left and right? Is this more wanky ref/ rugby terms that are being created along the lines of resource the ruck, which seems to be dying out? Have they just felt they had to come up with something new?
It's a good point. Left and right does seem to make more sense, especially if you're
side to side or just side.
Side to side, yeah. Side to side, because east and west, it's particularly confusing if your ground does not run north to south.
Yes,
as in the
exactly
posts
right.
don't run north to south.
Yeah, if you have, I mean, because I went to a school for learning difficulties children. And if you have a highly autistic child who takes things literally, you've got a real problem.
Yeah. East on this pitch is back towards my own post.
That's the West Stand there.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, hang on. Do you know when they call it a West Stand? Is that West relative to something local, or is that West in absolute terms?
I think it's West in absolute terms.
I don't know the difference between those two things. West would be West.
Well, like, say
if it was done.
Say you just got the entrance, right? Is it relative to the entrance? So
that's the beauty of northeast, south, and west. Well, so if I'm giving directions, so I will say head west down my street, and then head south. To which my wife will say, I've got no idea. Tell me to go left and right from my point now. I'll say, yes, but left and right is all relative to your current point right now. Uh-huh. But if you're going back from Sainsbury's, you need to know your absolute position.
Agreed. Which makes it almost even more ridiculous, the fact that refs call it east and west.
Yeah, east and west is ridiculous.
It's absolutely, when you put it like that, it's absolutely ludicrous.
What would be handy for referees with this one, and would make it all make sense if it was done all just arbitrarily, and one end of the ground was north and another was south, and the two sides were east and west, regardless of which one you decided was north.
So
that would mean the referee's chat made sense.
Or we rip up every single ground that is not north to south.
So you just want to get more business for your company, don't you?
Who would rebuild that?
Well, if you want to get in touch at Rugby Podcast, slide into my DMs.
There we go.
If you're looking for a new stadium.
I think we'll cover that.
It's a bit like this as well. There's a whole can of worms here. I'm just thinking back to when I used to go to Cubs, and we play Port Starboard, Bow and Stern. They'd shout different things in east, south, northwest. They'd shout stuff, and we'd run to different walls.
Yeah, we see that.
Wall. So they were lying to me all that time as well. Because actually,
I wonder if that's come from. I mean, that must be private. Well, I know you didn't go to private school, but I wonder if it is a private school thing, because back in the day, you weren't doing PE, were you, if you were in the local comprehensive in 1930?
No.
In fact, you might not even be going to school for all I know. I really don't know. But the guys who went to private school were presumably being groomed to run an empire. And knowing your way around the ship is probably quite important.
You're wrong, actually. One of the things I used to do in school is they used to just get them doing calisthenic type stuff. So they used to get
pushing things. This
So not private education. It was like all schools. They would have them just stood up in lines like they were in army lines and go, and then right, do star jumps, and they'd all have to do star jumps for ages, and that was PE basically.
When did that? Because there'll be a point when before that point there would be no PE, and I don't know when that is.
Yeah,
it might be 19th century, might be it.
Anyway.
It's mad when I think back to like school, and linking it back to rugby, when I think back to schools, I remember being told, even when I was, you know, when I was going through the representative levels at 16, Southwest and South of England trials, all that jazz, and I remember getting told, oh, don't do weights.
Yeah, I was told not to do weights until you're over 16.
Whereas
I've got no idea
what the guidance is now.
I've got Louis doing deadlifts and back squats and stuff.
Yeah, rightly so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, there is some rugby to talk about. Did anyone see Bristol Bears?
Yes.
Impressive performance.
Oh, just before we jump off of Exeter and Quinns, just to reiterate something that we've sort of between us been saying over a number of weeks now, I don't think that there isn't a better fullback, English fullback playing at the moment than Mike Brown. Same goes for loosehead prop with Joe Marler. Same goes for scrum half with Danny Kerr.
Agree with all that.
Just outstanding. And
yeah.
And to pick on the point you made about having these big names available, not only are they available, they're earning every pound they get. We talk about our international players worth the money you spend. Well, they're being paid international wages,
mm-hmm.
but they're earning them at the minute. They're class.
Yeah, completely agree. And for the first time in ages that they are consistently doing it, partly because they're not away internationally, but also partly because Harlequins are on a great run of form.
Mm.
Coincidentally, since Gustard left.
It's weird. Coincidental.
Who's the sack director of rugby? Pocket the 300k and you're away.
Who needs a director of rugby?
Who needs one? It's a great question.
Absolutely.
Just give it to the other guys.
Give it to charity.
Give it to charity. Yeah. Wonder what they're doing. Anyway.
Anyway.
It matters not.
So, Bristol won.
Yeah, they hammered Wasps in the end.
And it took a while. It took 60 minutes before the gap opened up. It was the Joyce try with after whatever it was, 58, 56 minutes, something like that. Because up to that point, it was a 3-point game. And then the kind of the doors opened.
Yeah, I thought Wasps did okay in phases. They seem to not be doing stuff well, which they used to be doing well. So what really impressed me with Wasps when they were winning last season, their defence could turn people over. It was ferocious. Maybe that was a Jack Willis thing, you know?
Jack Willis, Barbary, Launchbury is very handy at that that type of stuff.
So they had the ability not to have to... Well, they could defend for large periods of time, but you switch off and they'd take the ball.
Yeah.
But they were also good in like really tight situations too. They were getting over from pushover scrums.
Yeah.
You know, people invest a lot of money in props for them not to do that. pick and goes, things you don't associate with Wasps, they were doing really well. And that element of their game seems to have gone backwards. What they're good at, they still do well, but the rest of it, there's something missing there.
I've said it before, so I won't go over it. But yeah, what they're missing is those absolutely massively influential players, which Dai Young didn't have, and the wheels appeared to be falling off. Lee Blackett came in, gave him a breath of fresh air, yes, but also at the same time Lee Blackett came in, he got back Jack Willis, Dan Robson, Joe Launchbury, and Jimmy Gopeth, and they look like a totally different team. Three of those four key guys are out, and they look a totally different team. I think it is as simple as that for Wasps.
Who's the best 13 in the Premiership outside of Sam James?
Randrandra.
Ooh, yeah. We'd be struggling to
get. And then Randrandra number one, Piers O'Connor number two.
Interesting. Do you know what I need to see?
Fekitoa.
Yeah.
If you can get back fit and playing properly.
I think Fekitoa's love him.
Class.
Absolutely love him.
He's just a defensive weapon, isn't he?
Which you never used to think about, did you?
You used to think about his rapid, hard runs out, getting on the outside shoulder.
I'm not even sure he's fast. I'm not even sure he's fast anymore. I mean, I'm sure you can move a little bit, but I don't even think of him. And in the Wasps team, which are renowned for being really quick, you got this guy who just annihilates people. Atomizes.
Yeah.
Although he got sat down by Dave Atwood, who is another guy playing outstanding.
Yeah, Atwood is playing some lovely stuff at the moment.
But his technique of Fekitoa as well, because to direct, to have that much power, but just to... He just crunches people up, folds them like deck chairs.
I would love to see Fekitoa go up against Randrandra. The unstoppable force against the immovable object.
Right, if Courtney Laws was tackling Fekitoa, what would who would...
Oh, Courtney would win. Yeah, Connie would. No, it's all that. It's not even a fair fight. But against the other 13s, I don't know if they're... I mean, I don't know defensively. I think Jonathan Joseph is probably better defensively in terms of how he, you know, covers his space and never gets beaten on the outside. He's probably the best defensive 13. In terms of just pure hitting, Malachi Fekitoa has got to be the best.
Yeah.
Even more than Manu.
Yeah, definitely more than Manu. I mean, Manu doesn't get in 13 jersey for sale, let alone in the conversation for the best 13 in the league. He's all right at 12, though, with Van Rensburg's hurt.
Who's bigger, Fekitoa or Randrandra?
That's a good question. I would not be surprised if Randrandra's taller, but Fekitoa's heavier. Those legs alone must weigh.
He's got big old legs on him, hasn't
he?
I'm just trying to find their official current profiles.
His legs look like the sort of oak tree that you could make a galleon out of.
Yeah, it's like something about Fekitoa. You know how like racehorses' jaws seem muscular. He's like Fekitoa's got a muscular face,
muscular nose.
Yeah, yes.
So their official profiles.
Yep.
They're both 6'2".
Oh, I thought Randrandra was bigger. So I would say Fekitoa is bigger than.
I think Fekitoa is going to be 100 kgs.
JB, any upgrade on that?
105.
So like 16
kgs. Fekitoa is listed on his Wasps profile, which should be up to date, as 99
Ooh.
Kg.
So just a shade under 16 stone.
So Randrandra is definitely bigger than 100 kg.
Randrandra is 105 on his official Bristol.
God damn, we were robbed of this matchup.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh yeah, I can't believe we've not spoke about Charles Peartel. Because he was awesome.
Oh my God.
He was absolutely awesome.
So the two main involvements, obviously his try that he passed to Piers O'Connor, where he went as first receiver off a scrum, passed to Sir Charles, and he'll do all the rest.
Yeah.
And then his pass out to Addie Loken.
Yes,
was
off the left hand.
Left hand. It's like a 20-yard, 25-yard pass.
Perfect. It was, his at full speed.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I felt bad for Tip Eden, you know, because he's been knocking on the door for God knows how long, trying to unlock this Wasps defence. And Pierre says, "Look, just
give it,
this one out."
Yeah. Just give it. There you give go. It Pierre towel.
Just runs through like they're not even there. Do you want to have a go now, Tip?
Well, I even think Bristol could call it. Could have a call and just go Pierre towel ball, Pierre towel ball, and they still wouldn't be able to stop him.
Yeah,
he's amazing. The one thing I think Charles Piatow epitomises as well is how good rugby players are at being self-cutting barbers.
He looked slick.
His hair looks slick, sharp, like the perfect side parting, perfectly tapered hair. And just I was watching the international rugby. Mainly because I'm thinking, when I'm on telly in a couple of weeks, what the hell am I going to do?
No, I do shave it off.
What am I going to do? And I'm looking at
these... Find him. A lot better than mine's looking at the moment.
Well, yeah, that's fair. Exactly. But I'm going, what am I going to... But whereas I was watching all the games this weekend thinking, there's some really good barbers among these rugby squads.
Isn't there?
Yeah.
So I know of an employer. I'm not going to tell you who or name drop or anything like that. Not name drop, that's not wrong. Dob them in. But one of their ways to get their staff back in the office was to get a hairdresser in. Said, yeah, if you come to work, come off field and come into work, we will get a hairdresser in. And they all came in.
Wow.
Know your market.
Genius.
Indeed.
And it was, so that's a professional rugby team.
So what they do in South Wales is get a tattooist in, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you want tattooist and a guy who...
Your sleeve.
Yeah, guy who deals in some vitamin S as well.
Ooh, delicious.
Or some hemo rage.
Hemo rage.
God. Supplement.
It's been a while since I've thought about hemo rage.
Mm. Yeah, so Bristol just marched on. It's disappointing for Wasps. I thought they would challenge for top four again, just judging on what
so
they did last year.
So did I. But again, they do not have that depth of squad. They can't replace Jack Willis, Dan Robson, Joe Launchbury especially.
Yeah.
I'm not sure many teams can replace Joe Launchbury, in fairness. But there again, they did. And this is what annoys me about the situation they find themselves in, is they were really good at making people lower down their squad play well. That's what I thought that they were good at. And to a certain degree, they are still pretty good.
That's within a context, though. As we talked about with Leicester at the back end of last season, putting all those kids in, you can slot in George Martin, Freddie Stewart and Jack Van Portfleet when you around George Ford and
Genji
and all these, but you can't chuck them. When you take out those linchpins, it's a different matter altogether.
Mm. Yes, I think there is a lot to be said for that. A lot to be said for it, indeed. Why don't we talk about Leicester? Did anyone watch the Leicester game then?
I've only seen the highlights.
Yeah.
So it looked like some rolling mall tries that won Leicester this game. And a little bit of magic from Zach Henry.
Yeah, I this is the one game that I've not actually seen. One of two games that I've not actually seen.
What, Italy-Wales being the other, obviously.
Yeah, Italy-Wales. Interesting news in the week that they just released a lad.
Yeah.
Tom Hardwick.
Yeah. I don't know anything about that, but it's just...
It was a release with like a one-line statement saying...
Bye.
Yeah, basically saying, thank you for your service, he's gone.
Yeah.
He always struck me when he was on the field, very, very confident in his own ability, Tom Hardwick. Like, he had a bit of swagger about him. Like, he was kind of the guy, and I quite like that in a 10, actually, someone going...
Oh, you need it.
I'm here, I'm the man, give me the ball. I'll do it all.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe him being where he is in the pecking order, with them having brought in Juan Diaz Bonilla, Zach Henry, and they got George Ford. Maybe he just thought, well, I'm better than this. You should be picking me. And okay, well, off you go.
He was linked to Bristol
because he's kind of got a Max Malins vibe about him.
Has he really? So I know nothing about. Did you see him in the 20s by any chance?
No.
I know nothing about the guy. I just thought it was interesting to let a young player like that go with such a harshly worded, not harshly worded, but...
It's not what they said, it's what they didn't say.
Yeah, we wish him all the best.
Yeah.
I think possibly for other clubs, this is a sign that they should absolutely snap him up, because other youngsters there, Leicester have let go in the back three, in the backs, Alex Lewington, Paolo Adogwu,
yeah,
and the rest.
if this was a few years ago, I'd definitely say yes. But I think I think Borthwick has, well, I don't think he has cleaned house. Time will tell, but I think I trust Borthwick a little bit more than people who are cleaning house 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on there, isn't there? And you know, cleaning house in some ways just feels like a little bit of a get-out clause. Yeah, not my guy. They talk about this in Soconomics, don't they? Which is every new manager comes in, turns over the squad. It's like the oldest trick in the book. But I do feel that this time it is warranted. But they seem to do it every year.
Well, yeah, Leicester have had like 15 to 20 incomings and outgoings in each of the last five seasons. So there's no guarantee at all this will work. And some of those, including players that have gone and then come back, like George Ford or Balmain, or there's players who've been
Johnny
in
May.
Around. Johnny May, well, no, because Johnny May came and went. He only went to Leicester once. He went to Gloucester twice.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
But yeah, it's the same principle with the wrong teams.
Yes, well then. Yes, there's obviously some long-term thinking here. Like Dan Kelly played, who was obviously part of their long-term vision.
Yeah, and I don't know much about him, but I like his physique. He's a muscular young lad.
So they've got like this handful of guys, and I think this is the way that they're going. Stewart, Kelly, Van Portfleet.
Martin.
There's a couple of others.
Yeah, there's a couple of others. And they won the under 18 or under 19s, I'm not sure what the age group is. They won that 2 years in a row a couple of years back.
Mm.
Yeah. And as for Gloucester.
So that's these guys.
I mean, you know, they put out a good team. In fact, looking at these guys, like, yeah, they've got a couple, like, they're like a couple of kids. But they really need to be, picking up wins here at home against teams like Leicester.
Like Leicester. During the Six Nations.
Absolutely.
This would be a disaster. If they
did bring some youngsters in, but again, I'm not saying he's not talented, and he was the guy that scored that winning try against Ulster, George Barton, but they started the season with Danny Cipriani as fly half. They're now playing George Barton at fly half. It's a very, very different kettle of fish.
Which team do you think has gone through the most starting fly halves? It might be Gloucester. Billy 12,
this
Barton,
season.
Yeah, Billy 12, yeah. Barton,
Lloyd Evans, Sippers.
That's four.
And they've probably slotted in Mark Atkinson there for a few minutes in a game at some point.
They have to have started, I think.
So, yeah, okay.
So four then.
Yeah, so only Bristol have done that. From what I can...
Yeah, Johan Lloyd, Tiff Eden, Sheedy.
Oh, they might have been five then. Sheedy, Lloyd, Tiff Eden, Bedlow.
God, Bedlow started.
Yeah, and the two starters, maybe it is only four.
Yeah.
No, hold on. Lloyd, Sheedy, Bedlow,
Eden.
Yeah.
So that'll be four as well.
Yeah, so that's four. So I can't.
Furbank, Bigger, Grayson. No
one else.
Conan, Hodgson, Flood, if he started 10, I don't know.
No, I don't think he has.
He might have done in one of the games.
Leicester have definitely gone through three. But that's it, yeah. So it's only Gloucester and there. And it turns out that how many fly halves that you start has no correlation to your league position, because Bristol are top and Gloucester are not.
Yes.
That is a completely useless statistic for you.
Worcester will have three in Searle, Weir, and Shilcock.
Yes.
But that Shilcock is injury induced.
Hang on. Wait, who? Searle?
Searle, Weir.
Yeah.
And Shilcock. For Worcester. Irish have probably only had one.
Only had one. Possibly they might have played Brophy Clues there to give Paddy Jackson a break 1 week, but probably not, actually.
No, I think Paddy Jackson's probably played Exeter.
Skinner and Simmons.
Yeah, but has Skinner started maybe one game?
Sales just Rob Dupree or AJ.
Yeah,
two great hands.
Quinn's probably just Magic Marcus,
Brett Herron.
Yeah, so just looking at the table now, outside of the top two, I don't say this every week, but I just can't make out who seriously wants the other two places. Like they are just so evenly matched.
I think the two that are in there probably will get it, Quinn's and Sale. But Quinn's, it feels like it could all disappear as easy as it came. Because this run of form, which coincided with Gustard leaving, They hadn't demonstrated that for, well, several years before that, other than fleeting performances by their superstars. Whereas now they're putting it all together, but how quickly can that just dissolve?
Yeah, and they're not getting any better, are they, after Six Nations? Everyone else is getting better.
Everyone gets better, yeah.
Yeah, and that's where they're going to maybe have a little bit of a problem.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Did you watch the Cell Sharks performance?
I saw.
No, I watched. I don't know what you were watching. I watched England under 12s against South Africa A.
I just don't know what to say about this.
But firstly, let's say a massive positive.
What's there to be positive about?
No. But Northampton Saints named in their starting 15, 12, and in their match day 23, 16 academy products.
Yeah.
And a whole 23 of England qualified players.
I wonder how.
Or was it a whole first 15?
It's a whole first 15.
Whole first 15 of English qualified players.
But I think only.
Ratuni Yarawa.
Yeah. Oh, and Rory Hutchinson are there players who are non.
Isn't Hutchinson through the academy though?
Yeah, but he's non-English qualified.
Non-English qualified, but the starting 15 was all English qualified, and in their match they scored 16 academy products.
Good stuff.
That is phenomenal, and it wasn't just. There's no relegation, so we're putting the kids in. They bloody won.
Let's play a game. Was there a game in the Premiership this week where the two sides cost such a substantial difference in actual cost of the first 15? Just salaries.
Oh, the differential in this one would have been massive.
I mean, who's the highly paid player at Northampton Saints? Who was the big money guy there?
In that team. Alex Waller.
Yeah,
Tamana Harrison.
I mean, they'll be on good starting money.
Tamana will be on.
Tom Wood's probably
fairly
on
decent.
Like senior money.
But he's 34, 35 yeah. now. He's not starting for England as he was 6-7 years ago.
And then on the sales side, you've got
the Dupree twins.
Well, one of the
money, Faf de Klerk.
One of the Dupree boys is on big money.
Yeah.
At least one of them, but yeah, definitely one of them.
So, just
Lude might be on.
Lude will be on. Lude a few quid.
Lude might be the best paid second row in the league.
Yeah, he was actually good. He was good again. And, like, they had one phase of play, and I thought, this is on here. They are looking really good. I think it came off a line out. It's like a dummy switch or a switch or something happened, and it looked free flowing, and the Duprees were galloping around like. Prize Mustangs, and then they just stopped playing. They are more comfortable without the ball than they are with the ball, and it's
weird for the best team with ball in hand in the league.
Well, I'm not saying it's Sanderson's fault per se, but there is a Saracens style evolution going on here.
This was the case all season. Sale have not they've got great wingers: Yard, Solomona,
Reed,
McQuicken.
Reed's tackle on Freeman.
That was awesome.
That was
awesome.
That was awesome.
Do you know what's weird about rugby, right? Really weird. Particularly about young players. I interviewed Aaron Reed for, I just literally did it for 5 minutes, which we had to film. I interviewed him and this other young lad, whose name? Matt Sturgis, right? So I think Sturge has gone on elsewhere and Reedy's carried on. And when I met them, they looked like small boys. Like, they just did, because they are small boys.
Yeah, because they're 18 at the time.
Yeah, and then fast forward, like, 18 months or something, and they just become massive.
Reed
was stacked.
Yeah, and I remember thinking, even probably last season when Reed was playing, he just doesn't look ready to be playing at this level.
Yeah,
and then he's been on the Tom and Ben Curry diet, eating dumbbells and stacking cows, and he looks massive.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah,
bloody
yeah.
Hell.
He did look. He looked like he'd been doing the work in the gym.
Yeah, it is bizarre because you see so many of the academy kids, and then you come back to, because I won't have been there for over 12 months, and you will show up at the training ground. And they're like, well, yeah, they're absolutely enormous now.
Yeah,
no doubt the Currys are even. Well, apparently Ben Curry's even bigger.
Well, he's not been playing as many games, has he? Is he injured at the moment?
Yeah, they actually said in a presser that he's been injured, therefore he's just been hitting the gym.
Yeah,
it looks absolutely enormous.
And I can only imagine, because during lockdown, I loved that Ben Curry article saying that they get a snip when one of them even thought or got a whiff or a suggestion that have you just gone and done a workout? I was just taking something out to the shed. You've done a workout, haven't you? Right, I'm going to go and do a workout. And that would make the other one go and
sneaking
do a workout.
Out at night.
Yeah. Well, they were the ones, because there was...
How do you get out of the bunk bed, though, without waking up?
There was the talk of a lot of players, particularly forwards, losing weight because they couldn't train properly, and therefore, and also they weren't able to eat properly because they're not in the training ground, they're not having chefs making them meals two or three times a day.
5,000, I mean, trying to cook 5,000 calories for yourself is hard.
it depends what you're going to eat.
Yeah.
But if you're eating pizzas and milkshakes...
Even that was pretty difficult.
I mean, doing it consistently would be difficult.
Every day?
Yeah, you'd be pretty miserable. Anyway, there are lots of players. There's the Italian prop who lost like 15 kilos.
My word.
Because he was basically locked in his flat. And the Curry boys put on 5 or 6 kilos over lockdown one.
Of good weight.
Yeah.
Beach
good
weights.
Yeah. There were definitely some beach weights in there.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, when Sale get Tom Curry back, that's going to be a big deal.
Ben Curry, yeah.
And Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Both of them. Yeah. I think Sale will comfortably get top four.
They'll get top four.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And Manu. Manu will be back soon.
Yeah.
In fact, Manu is back soon.
Is he?
Yeah. He went for a long walk in the countryside. You don't do that if you're not nearly back playing
no,
rugby.
No, they definitely intend to play
with Alex Anderson.
Yeah. Again, I think I'm not that sure that Sale are nailed on top four. They're likely top four, but I don't think they're nailed on.
I think it's a huge failure if they're not top four.
Enormous, catastrophic.
Yeah. I think last year was a huge failure, and indeed, Steve Diamond left shortly afterwards. I think this year would be a huge failure if they don't get top four.
Even if they had to take two steps backwards, one step backwards to take two steps forward, dropping out the top four, I don't think is. I think that'd be too far backwards.
Well, two steps backwards would be finishing second behind Exeter, down to finishing fourth, but still making the playoffs.
Mm.
And having to go away to Exeter or Bristol.
And also be the wrong way around, because you could one step back to go two step forward. If you went two steps back to go one step forward, you'd eventually just go backwards.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
You're further back from where you started.
Yeah, that's highly undesirable.
Yeah.
Your boys, Tim.
My boys.
They won again.
My boys won again.
And Paddy Jackson slotted a 50-yard penalty with room to spare.
Right, so this is the bittersweet element of this. So I was watching this, and I was like, go on, Paddy Jackson, come on. And then it dawned on me as the flags went up. Oh, balls. I'm playing against Paddy Jackson in my fantasy rugby draft match, and I've lost by half a point.
Well, it's going to recalculate in the morning, so you never know.
Even if it's within 3 points, that Paddy Jackson thing could have cost me my fantasy rugby draft weekly matchup.
Devastating.
But on the flip side, I was delighted for the boys. And Blair Cowan's a family friend. He's the godfather of...
Is he?
Godfather of Nick's kids.
And, I did not know that.
Yeah. And what Nick's one of my nephews is called Blair.
Well.
And that's that connection. So to see Blair Cowan is still absolutely tearing it up.
He's playing some nice stuff.
35 tackles, a premiership record, even more than Jacques Berger ever managed.
Goodness me.
Wow. He works so flipping hard.
You know, I think there's something. It's almost like a weakness of London Irish that they have Blair Cowan playing, because he just does too much for them, and some things which I don't think he should be doing on occasions. It's like the Owen Farrell thing. Do you know my, when I say about Owen Farrell that when he used to get into trouble, he hasn't done it recently, but one of the reasons is he was trying too hard. Like, he tries to overcompensate. I see this with Blair Cowan. Like, he goes digging into rucks for, you know, to pass the ball when the scrum half is missing, and he takes a lot of responsibility on for that team.
He's identified, I'm playing in the world forward team, world team of the year pack 2013.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I need to bring it up to date.
100%.
Yeah, he's playing well, but yeah, I just think he'll improve even further, or his performances will improve even further when he's more comfortable with the rest of the team actually doing the jobs that they need to do, so he's not burrowing in to pass the ball from nine.
Yeah, Irish have actually got a chance of, well, finishing the top half, finishing the playoffs.
Top four.
Yeah,
the fifth.
Six, according to my. Are you looking on Ultimate Rugby that gets
I am,
it wrong?
Yeah.
They're not losing anyone, so they had to make hay while the sun was shining, and they've made it count in this Six Nations period. But they don't lose anyone.
Yeah, yeah, that is very true. But they're a decent team, and they're getting the results in tight games as well, which always helps. Which is the opposite of what Worcester are doing. And they are not converting any of their tight games.
Yeah, and that's quite a shame for Worcester, because you're not watching them and thinking, these guys can't play, they're rubbish. You actually think they play really nice rugby.
Yeah, they didn't play, from what I saw, they didn't play for long periods of this game. Like, early on in this game, they were not very good, but it did click later on. And they were a little unlucky not to get a draw out of it.
Yeah, it is annoying, because it's the same story week in, week out. They've got some chances. They couldn't finish them.
Play some nice rugby in patches.
Yeah, they know what they do. I mean, you know, this is a relegation team, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
Just not this year. They should be relegated, actually. They should go.
Yes. Anyway, do you guys want a quiz?
Yeah, go on,
oh,
Phil.
Yes,
come
yes,
on.
Please.
Shall
yes.
we? So, have you got, JB, you've got a pen in your, or you had a pen
I threw
in.
I threw it across the way. Let me go.
Oh, it's just there. I don't have a pen, but I can.
There's a pen under JB's seat. There's a piece.
Oh, right.
There's some paper. You've got paper over there.
Yeah.
JB, just under that seat yeah. there. There's a pen.
Good job, James.
You've got that paper, JB.
Do you know that's one thing I've noticed about not working in an office is I actually found myself for the first time in a long time actually going, I need a pen.
You're not stealing them from the office.
Like, you know, there are some people that sort of always go, where's my pen gone? And there are some people who just go, there's always a pen around. I'm one of the people, without like deliberately nicking stuff, I always have a pen around.
So yeah, I'll just grab
another one out of the pot, and then I'll just, oh, anyway. So yeah, I don't have a pen. That's why I need the things to get back to normal. So I have.
So you can steal pens from work.
Yeah.
Right.
Ready for a quiz.
Let's get into this. Yeah,
so on. We have, how many questions do we have? Six questions.
Six questions, okay.
Okay, there might be more than one point available for each question.
You still need to have a microphone,
oh,
JB.
Thank you. Yep, Roger.
So, question number one.
Yes.
Okay.
Two Scottish internationals hold the record for most tries in a Super Rugby match.
What?
Two Scottish internationals hold the record for most tries in a Super Rugby match. Now, they are joint with 16 other players. Because there are 18 players who have scored four tries in a Super Rugby match, and two of them are Scottish internationals. Who are they?
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay.
Okay. I'll try those. Fine.
Question number two. Who finished bottom of last year's, 2020's, Super Rugby Arta Rower?
Okay, next. Come on.
Yeah, go on then.
Easier.
Question number three. Maybe a bit easy, that one. Question number three. Who did Connacht beat to win the 2016 Pro 12 Grand Final?
Ah, now that is an interesting question. And one that I know the answer to. Okay, next.
I don't know if I do know the answer to that. Okay.
I think I would have got confused between the final and the semi-final.
I don't think we need to give any more information. Thank you.
Okay. Question number four. Which two players did Johnny May go round the outside of to score his try against New Zealand in 2014?
That's not easy. 2014.
It was 2014.
Oh my word.
Yeah. As Johnny May announcing himself on the world stage.
2014. Was that 7 years ago now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Johnny May aged 23 or 24.
I can only see Johnny May. I can't.
Such a good try.
I can't see anyone else. 2014. Okay, I'll try that.
Oh, he went outside all of them.
Specifically, if you watch it back, there are two people he goes round the outside of. He goes inside players, but he goes round the outside of two players.
Crikey. No one's getting this. Incredible question.
I'll try that and try that. That's a great question.
I genuinely think if you've asked me that, I would have got both of them.
No, you wouldn't.
Pretty certain. Ask me now.
Yeah, ask him now. I've written my answers down, honest.
Okay. Question number five. There is one... Question number five. I think... I've checked, and I think I'm pretty sure I'm right, that there is one Rugby World Cup winner playing in Super Rugby AU in the squads at the moment.
One World Cup winner?
One World Cup winner playing in Super Rugby AU. There's 2 points for this question. First of all, what team do they play for in Super Rugby AU, not their national team? And who is it?
Oh! Ha 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 ha.
My word.
I know this as well.
I don't have a clue about Super Rugby.
AU.
All I know is AU. All I know is about the music that Michael Checker does his analysis.
You were researching the wrong stuff, Tim. If it was Super Rugby Aotearoa, there'd be like a dozen.
Millions.
Yeah, hundreds.
I haven't got a clue.
Oh, I know this one. Do you need the team?
I'll just
so
guess.
1 point for the team. So you can guess and get 1 point, and then I need the player. Dang. So it's there are 2 points available for it.
I haven't got a clue. Question six.
Okay, just calm down. Just settle down.
Question number six. Okay. Only four of the 2017 Lions squad have officially retired from rugby union. Who are they?
Only four.
2017 Lions squad have officially retired from rugby union. Who are they?
2017 was the last
this
one.
This is such a good question, Phil.
This was the last
one. Have officially retired from rugby full stop or international rugby?
From rugby.
Rugby. I disagree with the concept of retiring from international rugby anyway.
Yeah.
Many times before, if your country calls on you, you do your duty.
Yeah. So the four of the squad, and this does include the call-ups. This is the full squad, including the Lions.
Including the five?
The Lions five, yeah.
I think I've got two.
Oh my God, this is a really hard question. Oh no. International rugby or rugby?
Retired from rugby.
Okay.
I think I might have three.
Including midweek games and whatnot.
It's the full squad. So the full, however many it was, 40 men, including call-ups.
Such a great question.
Only four of them. Which means that there are 35 players with Lions experience currently playing at the moment.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a difficult question.
You still thinking of the Rugby World Cup winner?
No, I'm not actually. My mind's gone from that.
Okay.
I think I might have all four.
I can't have all four. I can't have all four. I must have something wrong with one of these. Or at least one of these. I think we should get a shuffle, shouldn't we?
Right. we'll give about 20 seconds.
He's got till we get down to question six to think about it.
Okay,
he's already written 1-5.
Okay. Question number one. The two Scottish internationals who have scored 4 tries in a Super Rugby match are...
I've got Duane van der Merwe.
Is incorrect.
Damn it.
Sean Maitland.
Is correct.
Damn it. And I guess Hugh Jones.
is correct.
That's a great guess. I went with Strauss. Damn it.
So that's 1 point each.
Oh, I'm so screwed here.
I don't know that you are. I'm not very good on question two and three, mate. And I was total guess on four and five.
Question two should be an easy one, JB said. Who finished bottom last year's Super Rugby Aotearoa?
The Chiefs.
Chiefs is correct. Oh, lost God. 8 from 8.
I've got Highlanders. Of course it's Chiefs. What am
the
I
Chiefs,
thinking?
Warren Gatland's Chiefs lost 8 from 8.
I was thinking it was Warren Gatland's Highlanders. See, I don't know my Super Rugby. See, you're fine, JB.
Okay, question three. Who did Connacht beat in 2016 in the final?
Glasgow.
They beat Glasgow in the semi-final.
No!
I put Scarlets.
Incorrect. It was
Leinster.
Of course, it's always Leinster.
Damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it.
See, I haven't got a clue. Outside of Premiership, I'm useless. What's going on?
Question number four. Which two players did Johnny May go round the outside of?
I guessed Ben and Conrad Smith.
You got 1 point. Conrad Smith was the 13.
Yes, I've got Smith.
Let's see. Show Phil.
Show Phil. Oh, yeah, good point.
Show Phil. Did it say Smith?
It does say Smith.
You can't give him that. He was thinking Ben Smith. You can't give him a point for Smith.
So, seeing as Tim went for
Conrad, give him half a point.
Ben and Conrad, I'm going to give you half a point, JB.
But those were my two answers. I could have written down Smith. Covered them both.
Yes. So
Surveyor would be my one.
It wasn't Surveyor. It was the 15 at the time.
It was Rodag.
Was Daggy. So that was half a point and 1 point, which means it's 2.5 to JB and 2 to Tim.
Yeah. Oh. See, this one I've got zero.
I have no idea.
I total guess. I don't know which World Cup winner is playing in Australia, but I guessed Fran Steyn for the Waratahs.
Is incorrect. Fran Steyn is playing for the Cheetahs at the moment.
Is he?
But in, obviously, South Africa.
He said for Waratahs.
For Waratahs, and Waratahs is incorrect.
So I think the team is the Reds.
Is incorrect.
Oh, I don't know them.
So it is the Western Force who have Richard Kahui, who obviously won in 2011.
We could have been here for quite some time.
Wow.
Quite some time.
So JB's got a half point advantage going into these four Lions players that are now retired from rugby.
No, why can't I think of any more players?
Okay, so you go first, JB, but one that you have got. Yeah, have you written them down? You've got to write them down, because otherwise you can't.
Have you? So you've got Warburton written down?
Warburton.
Yeah, I've got Sam Warburton written down.
So that is 1 point for each of you.
No, this is...
Now, JB, can I just have a look at your pad? Have you got anything else written down on it? Right, so JB has...
Come on, Phil.
Okay, Tim.
Come on,
Tim.
He's got nothing else to say.
JB has nothing else written down.
I've got three shots to win.
You have three shots. You're half a point behind. You've got three shots to win.
Christian Wade.
Is a good one.
No, he didn't go. It was the one before.
Yeah, he did.
He went to the one before, He went in 2011 to Australia.
Oh,
yes!
No!
Still in it.
So Wade is not correct. Yeah, good point.
All right. Gethin Jenkins.
Didn't go.
Did not go. Not go.
Here we go.
Oh, no! Here we go. Ben Teo.
No, he's still playing.
Playing rugby league.
So, and I've actually got this written down.
He was
so
playing...
When I asked the question...
Sunwolves.
So, he left the Sunwolves and went to play NRL.
That's not retirement.
So, listen.
Sorry.
So, he went to play NRL. So, when I phrased the question originally, I said, has officially retired from rugby union. I actually said rugby union. Now, Ben Teo officially retired from rugby league last year. He has not officially retired from rugby union. However, I did write... Ben Teo gets half a point.
Oh, it's a draw!
Which means...
No!
And, which means you have a
three and a half each
draw. And, unbelievably, I've actually written a bonus decider question.
Oh, of course you have, Phil.
So...
Oh, I can't take the tension.
The bonus decider question is...
Think of those players that retired.
So, do you want me to tell you the other players that retired, actually?
Oh, yes, yeah, I do, actually.
So, you will... Kick.
No!
You will
no, don't
kick
say,
yourselves.
No, wait. Heaslip.
No, didn't go. You are going to absolutely kick yourselves.
Rory Best.
Rory Best.
Oh my God!
Yeah, Rory Best.
Another one that you will kick yourselves on. Retired about 2 years ago with a foot injury. Was going to do some MMA.
Haskell.
And the fourth one, less obvious.
Darcy Graham or something. Not Darcy. Darcy.
No.
Ross Ford.
No. Originally a Kiwi, played for Ulster.
Jared Payne.
Oh man.
So
I was so confident with Christy Wade. I thought that was the gimme. But you're right. That was 2011.
So here we go. Right. This is the bonus question. You're going to take turns giving me answers. So the question is, I watched England-France with Claire yesterday.
Interesting. Okay.
And Claire wanted to guess who was playing for England. So she she went guessing the players, and she managed to get 5 players correct from the England squad that was starting yesterday. However, I don't care about who she got correct. I want you to tell me the first... So I've got that written down here. The first 5 rugby players' names that she told me that weren't England players playing yesterday.
Phil, this is outstanding effort.
So you're going to take it in turns. If one of you gets it right and
it's
the second one, yeah. So you can shoot out. So who wants to go first?
Go on, Tim, you can go first.
The ones she didn't guess.
So this is... So
the ones
this
who
is,
aren't playing, but she guessed.
She guessed them, but they were not playing for England yesterday.
Okay. Johnny Wilkinson.
Incorrect. Okay. She did not guess Johnny
Wilkinson.
So you
can win it. You can win it with this.
And were they England players?
No, these
are rugby players that Claire guessed. Well, this is just people Claire guessed would be playing.
Sonny Bill Williams.
Incorrect.
Okay. And this is across both... She was guessing players...
She was just guessing the England players.
Abdel Benazee.
Okay. Okay. I'll go with... Hold on, I'm trying to get inside the mind of a mother of a newborn...
Don't try to do that.
Okay.
Ooh, here we go.
Toby Flood.
Incorrect.
Chris Robshaw.
Incorrect.
Oh, that's a great one. James Haskell.
Damn it!
Incorrect.
Oh, thank God for that. No, I should know that.
Come on.
Okay.
Good game's quick game.
Billy Twelvetrees.
Incorrect.
Manu Tuilagi.
Incorrect.
Oh,
great. Ben Tail.
Incorrect.
Mike Brown.
Incorrect.
Oh, come on.
You're giving her too much credit, but I'll give that clue. Daddy Care is incorrect. So we're back to Tim.
Okay. In which case, Martin Johnson.
Incorrect.
Jim Orla.
Incorrect.
Oh my God.
Will Carling.
Incorrect.
Did you say what? I have no idea. What would you think?
Start going for rugby players.
Okay, I've got another one. Come on, Jay. I've got another one.
Go on, Tim. You have a go now.
Hugo Monier.
Incorrect.
Wow.
You're giving her too much credit because the majority of names she named...
Gavin Henson.
Well, now you're starting to think correctly, but that was not correct.
No.
But the majority of players she named were not actually English.
Oh, wow. Okay. Gareth Thomas.
Incorrect.
Jason Robinson.
Incorrect.
Brian O'Driscoll.
Incorrect.
Paul O'Connell.
Incorrect. I guess this is quite an open question because it could be anyone who's ever played rugby.
Dan Carter.
Incorrect.
She's not going to know Beauden Barrett, is she? Who would she know? Jonah Lomu.
Incorrect.
Okay. Sam Warburton.
Correct!
No! What?
Sam Warburton was number 2 on the list.
Yes!
The second player she suggested.
What a way to
JB, you've got one more guest. I think we're probably going to give it to Tim, but...
Dan Carter.
Incorrect. The five in order were Sam Burgess.
That's oh, okay. Great. I mean,
not a bad, not
she
a bad
must
choice.
Listen to the pod.
Yeah. Sam Warburton, Dan Bigger, James Gaskell.
James Gaskell?
Because
how long would you have to get until we got to James Gaskell?
Because she gets confused with James Gaskell and James Haskell.
Oh.
And the final one was, of course, David Pocock.
Mate. Of course.
Of course.
For his rig or for his environmental work, I wonder.
It's one of the few players she's ever seen live, actually.
Oh.
So Tim wins the quiz.
Can I say, fantastic quiz that. A lot of effort went into that, and it's much appreciated. I'm sure you'll appreciate this listening right now. So, and yeah, do email us quizzes. contacttechchasers@gmail.com.
Mm.
Great stuff. Oh.
Curious.
Have we got any more rugby touch to talk about?
Well, is next week's game?
Yeah, next week's game.
Oh, Sonny Bill Williams retired.
He did. Yeah. Devastating. He said he's going to fight some more. Going to have a few more boxing matches, potentially.
I think he's coming back. He's in such great shape.
He can still do it, can't he? He can still do a job. He'd still get paid quite a lot of money to do it as well, which is always important.
What I believe he's going to do is... Unless he did the last series of it. No, I think he's going to do the Australian version, Australian/New Zealand version of SAS...
Bear Grylls type.
Yeah, which
Nick, Middleton type.
Which I'm... Nick Cummins won the first season of.
Okay.
The badge.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to do that, is the rumour.
Hmm.
So a bit of reality TV, get a bit of cash, and then, whatever's next.
I can't imagine he's going to be very good on reality TV. He's so straight on the line.
He's not got the same personality as the Honey Badger, has he?
Well, and one of the things they do in that SAS programme is they make them spar and box each other. And I think Nick Cummins...
Jesus, imagine that.
Yeah, exactly. Nick Cummins, there was one point where he got pitted against this celebrity woman and was like, I can't. And they were like, no, you got to. And he did. He hit her in the end.
Did he?
I believe.
Whoa. So Tindall went on something like that, didn't he? Some who dares
wins.
Are you hard enough or something like that. But, yeah, difficult one.
Next week's fixtures.
Yeah. Oh no. There is one more thing as well. Just very briefly, the European Cup.
Oh yeah.
Fixtures. The draw was made, and I've got to say, as much as it might not bring in as much revenue, because you get less fixtures, and some people might, but it's quite old school, and I quite like this straight knockout.
Yeah.
Every game matters.
The round of 16. Because normally you go straight to quarterfinals.
What if you had straight knockout home and away? Well, no, home and away I don't like, actually. What if you...
Home and away is rubbish for rugby, just as well, is it?
Actually, no, it's fine. But a shorter pool stages and more knockout, I'm up for. Maybe a three-team pool and
more
knockout. So higher seeds get two home games, because if you're only having 14 pools, you get three games.
Yeah.
Higher seeds get two home games.
So Sale, I've got...
Scarlets away.
Scarlets. Should do that.
So Sale managed to progress without winning a game.
Well, the rules are the rules.
The rules as they have been changed to now are indeed the rules. It does seem a bit perverse, but I'm not complaining, because it means we get more European rugby, and otherwise we wouldn't have had a conclusion.
But you've also missed out on something critical. They also go to La Rochelle. And they might be going to La Rochelle when this horrible lockdown is finally over.
If they beat Scarlets.
Yeah, and yeah. If La Rochelle...
I don't understand that.
They should beat Scarlets.
Who knows? Strikes me as Scarlets are the tricky sort of team that could put a victory over Sale.
Anyway, we've got a couple of weeks before we need to preview that. But yeah, just the fixtures came out. And I know it's quite exciting looking at those knockouts with that many games.
Yeah, I quite like that format. There's a few good games. So Munster to lose... should be a cracking game. That is European rugby royalty.
And the Leinster game as well.
Leinster hosting Toulon.
Leinster-Toulon and Munster to lose.
They're the biggest two.
A couple of tasty games.
Exeter hosting Lyon will be pretty interesting as well.
Yes.
But yeah, some of the others, because of the way that it's been decided on only two games, as in the tables.
Harlequins Ulster, do you fancy that?
Love to.
Oh, actually, UK travel. We could probably do that.
It won't be crowded. It's 2nd, 3rd, 4th of April, isn't there? Isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah.
It's too early.
God, I hate this. I hate this world. okay, fine.
Right, so anyway, we'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks. Oh, the points have just updated and I have lost by... I've lost by 2.5 points.
And how much have I lost by this week?
On Paddy Jackson.
You were losing by about 60.
So Paddy Jackson's 3 points at the end, I was half a point up. And
devastating, absolutely devastating. So
anyway, yeah, you got pan, JB, but you know.
Hang on, what's going on here? That's because I'm looking at only London Irishman games.
Fixtures then. So Friday night, we've got Falcons hosting Wasps, two teams who need a win.
Yeah, just judging on what I've seen, Wasps are going to find Newcastle very difficult team to break down. Newcastle are organised. Not only in attack, but also in defence. I expect a Newcastle win, I'm sorry to say.
I don't know. Newcastle missing quite a few players. Wasps also missing a few players. But playing on a plastic pitch should suit Wasps.
Should?
I'm going to go narrow home win.
I'm going to go Wasps away win.
No, I can't see him doing this. Really can't. Oh, we've not spoken about Wasps' ground sharing thing.
Oh, with Coventry City.
Yeah, that's really good news.
So that's now confirmed, because they were playing in Birmingham, was it?
Yeah, Birmingham City for the last couple of years. I don't know what... I don't know the ins and outs of why that they ended up moving out in the first place.
It was something to do with...
They didn't want to pay the rent.
Yeah. They used to own
Wasps
it.
Wasps were asking.
No, the council owned it. Or was it? Wasps bought it. Anyway, here's the long and the short of it. When CVC did their deal, they gave the clubs a load of money. And the clubs were meant to go and spend it on infrastructure and making the stadiums look great and whatnot. And even if they spent all of their money in exactly the right way, they still would not have, for the majority, as good a stadium as Wasps. Because the Ricoh is a fantastic venue. Now, well, it's a little bit out of the way. In terms of geography, it's not great. But the actual facility itself is awesome.
Well, it made Wasps, I'm sure, when they've bought it, without anything actually happening, Wasps jumped to the second highest turnover in Europe. Just by owning the facility, because there's
casino,
conference centre, hotel, gym, boxing, everything.
So they own that thing, right? And they're now going to effectively double the occupancy. Now, I don't know what kind of deal they've struck.
Well, that's how it was when they first moved in as well.
Was it?
Yeah.
For quite
a few years, Coventry City were there, and then it's only the last couple of years they moved out and went to Birmingham City.
Right.
So they've been there
for 7 years. I'm sure I'm reading something about it. It's like four or five. It's definitely more than just a couple of seasons. I'm talking nonsense.
Anyway, it's returned back to how it was.
Yeah, this is undoubtedly great news. Because, you know, if Wasps own all those things, just the fact there's more people coming through the door to see the facilities, to go to the gym or whatnot.
Yeah, 100%. I think it may have been I don't know. I think it may have possibly been a pride before a fall thing for Coventry City, because, again, as Phil said, the council owned it. They didn't have... there wasn't a master-servant sort of relationship, and then suddenly Wasps are there. They're the boss. Tried to negotiate. Well, we're the boss. You pay that, or you don't come here. All right, we'll go somewhere else. And now they've come back a little bit with tails between their legs.
It's obviously very political, because allegedly, the guy who brokered it was the mayor of the Midlands or whatever the actual town is, Andy Street.
Andy Street. Wow.
They brought him in to mediate the thing.
Wow.
So I think Wasps, just to get Coventry back, because apparently Coventry wants to look at building their own stadium in 2 years.
Well, look at the other rugby grounds where it's been shared. Stockport County and Sale Sharks did not get on, and the fans from Stockport County have long harboured massive resentment towards Sale.
Weren't Sale paying for the policing and all sorts?
Brian Kennedy owned the ground, and anyway, point being is it just wounds fester, and when a rugby team moves into your ground and then becomes the boss, it rightly or wrongly, it creates resentment, and that's clearly happened, so I'm glad they got over it.
Yes, agreed. I actually think it's good for everyone involved, and that's the most important thing. And Wasps could do with the money, let's put it that way.
Definitely. Saturday fixtures: Bath host Worcester, home win. 5 point home win. Quins host Gloucester, which home I think win. Will be a 5 point home win. Chiefs host Tigers,
home win.
And then on Sunday, Saints host Bristol. which will be an away win, I think.
Yeah.
And Sale host Irish, which will be a home win.
Yes, it will. It's quite a good accumulator there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throw Newcastle in as a home win too.
Yeah, I might leave that one out of my accumulator. I might go on a five.
Yeah,
I think I can't bet on rugby, but...
Yeah, I think Wasps...
I can't, and this week it went terribly.
Did you put 50 quid on an Owen Farrell red card?
I did the old... In the industry, it's called the Bath trick, which is you wait for Bath to get 12 points and you bet against them. And I could see Newcastle... climbing back. I thought, yeah, this is on once again. A Beardmore, you're a genius. Happens, doesn't it? Happens. So there we go. That's
right, nice one. There you go. Two podcasts this week, and if you appreciate that, then you can find us and support us. Patreon.com/eggchasers. You find us on Twitter. Find us on YouTube, where me and JB and one of these days Phil as well will be rambling away in the week when we have thoughts that pop into our head. But we're here, and so hit subscribe so you get the next podcast delivered straight to you. And nice one for listening. Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.